Thank you, everybody. I'm going to start off by setting the scene for where this project took place. Maricopa County is located in south-central Arizona. It's in the desert, and it's very hot. We average 110 days over 100 degrees every year. And all these extreme temperatures are associated with both mortality and morbidity. Between 2001 and 2014, there were over 900 deaths in our county. So considering these risks, extreme heat is definitely a public health priority in our county. Over the past decade, Maricopa County Department of Public Health has been monitoring heat-related illness and death, but we're always looking for ways to identify those cases in a more timely fashion. The National Syndromic Surveillance Program, BioSense platform, seemed like a reasonable avenue to look for new cases in a timely way and increase our situational awareness. So to use syndromic surveillance, we needed to identify what that heat-related illness syndrome would be. The classic effects of heat-related illness have a wide range. Milder symptoms include muscle cramps and heat syncope, and more extreme symptoms are heat exhaustion and heat stroke, which can be life-threatening. There are other symptoms that we can think about that might be related to heat, such as sunburn and dehydration. We worked with the CSDE Heat Syndrome Work Group to develop different heat syndromes. Maricopa County decided to explore four of these different syndromes and see how they performed in our county. The heat-specific definition is very narrow, and it really focuses on the heat exhaustion and heat stroke. It includes terms such as heat cramp, hyperthermia, overheated, and too hot. The sunburn definition focuses on excessive sun exposure and includes terms such as sun poisoning and sun rash. Dehydration uses terms such as volume depletion, electrolyte imbalance, and dry mouth. And the broad definition combines those three syndromes that I just mentioned and included a couple of extra terms such as clammy, collapse, and lightheadedness. So our objective was to see which one actually trended with temperatures and how it performed in our county. We used BioSense PHP MyAdmin tool, which means that all of our data were limited to hospitals that were enrolled in BioSense at that point. There were 12 hospitals from Maricopa County. We tested each query with the local emergency department and inpatient hospital records for the 2015 calendar year. Results for each syndrome are presented on this slide, and I'm going to take a moment to orient you to the figures. The x-axis shows time, so we have daily data from January 1st through December 31st, 2015. The black bars represent cases per day for each syndrome. We have red and blue lines, which represent the maximum and minimum temperatures for each syndrome. And just note that these do have different scales for each syndrome. So there are two key points for the figures. First of all, the prevalence of each syndrome varied very greatly. So the sunburn had as little as 191 cases, whereas the broad definition had over 72,000 cases. The other take-home point is that with the two figures on your left, there seems to be a peak during the summer. So both the heat-specific and the sunburn seem to have some sort of trend with our temperatures. Whereas the other two, the dehydration and the heat broad syndromes, don't really have that summertime peak, and they're not trending with temperatures. So in conclusion, it seems like each syndrome is telling a different story. At this stage, I would recommend that the heat-specific and possibly the sunburn syndromes may be useful for monitoring trends over time. They could probably be implemented in your jurisdictions as is. However, please note that they are specific and they might be missing the true burden of heat-related illness in that jurisdiction. Also, sunburn and the heat-specific syndromes would have different public health actions and different messaging. On the other hand, the very broad syndromes, they seem to be including a lot of patients that aren't related to heat exposure. So they would need tweaking before, or I don't know how they would perform if you're looking for heat-related illness at this point. So I'm not giving up hope on the dehydration or the very broad definitions yet. The next steps would be to manually review the line list for each syndrome and look through the chief complaint and the diagnosis combinations and see whether we can refine those syndromes and make them a little bit more specific. We could identify combinations of terms that might be included or excluded from our definition to make them more specific. The other project that we're trying to do is look how these syndromes perform in different regions. We know that Arizona is special in being very hot, and it might perform differently in different jurisdictions. The last thing is I want to acknowledge the CSTE Heat Syndrome Work Group for their efforts. Over the past year or so, we've been working really hard to collect different heat-related syndromes and deciding what that ideal heat-related illness syndrome could be. We've been developing a guidance document for different jurisdictions to use. So it's done in clearance, and look for that in the next couple months.